So, I said I was going to be talking about the value of wives and mothers. But before we get to that, I do want to finish up what we were talking about, men. Because I think we need to hit that a little harder still. We need to finish that up. I don't think we finished it up well enough last time. So I will be talking about a little bit, finishing up with men, and then we're going to talk about the value of wives and mothers, kind of mixing it all in too, trying to clear that up. But the truth is, we were talking about how men are needed in families. We need good men, and good men are needed. But becoming a well-rounded man is not an easy thing. It's going to take a lot of work. And the truth is that you should be working towards that goal. I mean, it's going to take your whole life. I'm sure some of the oldest men in here, are you a well-rounded man, perfect man yet?
Nope.
No, not yet. So it's going to take some work. You're going to be working your whole life to be the best man you can be. And it's not an easy thing. It is going to take and require a lot of work. And so, we do want to talk about that this morning. Before that, I want to go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the great gifts that we've received from you. Lord, we have life and we have the ability to open your word and meet in a free country. We're able to gather together and praise your name, and we're able to grow. Lord, we just thank you for what you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that you've provided us with families, and most of all, Lord, you've given us your family, Lord. You've made us your children, and Lord, we're just so joyful and thankful today. We ask that you'd give us wisdom as we have to live out our practical life, as we have to build ourselves here, Lord, and sharpen each other. We just ask that you'd give us the ability to learn and to grow and to be strengthened. Lord, we want to do what's right, and we need your guidance for that. Open up the scriptures to us today. Help me to speak freely, and I just pray that you receive all the glory and honor from all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We need a good man, and a good man is expected to be a few different things, and the reason why it's hard is because a lot of things that we're supposed to be require a lot of balance, and balancing is hard, right? I mean, you get these guys that balance things on their hands, and they balance it on their nose, and they can do a lot of incredible things, because balancing it takes time, it takes practice, it takes work. It doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to be a perfect man overnight. It's going to take work, and you got to work at it. But think about it. A good man is expected to be confident and humble. Now, just think about that for a second. It's going to take some work. For you to be confident and at the same time be able to be humble, that's not easy. But we do want a man that's confident, right? We want a man that has some confidence, that can be sure of things, that can carry himself, and that can do some stuff for himself, that's responsible. And yet we want that same man to be humble. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's not an easy thing to balance, but it should be your goal. And you should be working for that goal. You should be confident, and yet you should be humble. But that's why it's going to take some work. Oh, we want a good man is expected to be decisive, yet considerate. Right? We want a man that is able to be decisive. And again, we want leaders. God intended the man to be a leader, and you should be able to lead your house. And that's going to require some decisiveness. Listen, a man needs to be decisive. He needs to be able to make a decision and stand by that decision and be able to continue in that decision, right? A man needs to be decisive. And yet, we want the man to be considerate also. The truth is, if your family, if your wife thinks that you don't ever consider her, you're failing somewhere.
Right.
You should be considerate, and you must be considerate of your wife and of your family.
Amen.
But it's hard to balance being decisive and considerate. It's a hard balance to do, but it's going to take some work, and you should be working at it. A husband, a father should be strong, yet gentle. I mean, see all these things that's expected of a good man? They're hard to balance. You should be strong and yet you should be gentle. You should be able to be strong. Again, you're a protector and so you should be strong. You're a guide. You're a teacher. You should be strong. You should be able to discipline your children and you should be strong. And yet at the same time, you're going to need to be gentle and you're going to be able to treat your wife gentle and you're going to be able to treat your children in a gentle manner. So it's a good balance that you have to learn how to work through. And if you're leading from one side to the other side, you just have to learn. You're going to have to learn every day. Put some effort out into being a good man. It's not enough to just say, well, this is how I am, and that's how I'm going to stay. You need to work at becoming a good man. You have to be disciplined, yet adaptable. You have to be ambitious, but content, right? I mean, these are hard things, but you have to be ambitious. You don't want a man that's just right sitting around lazy, not wanting to do anything, who cares, whatever I've got. No, but at the same time, you have to be content. So all these things that make up a good man are going to require a lot of balance, and it takes work. You have to be wise, and you're going to have to be knowledgeable, yet open to learning. And that's hard to find. Somebody who's very knowledgeable, has a good grasp on things, and understands really well, and yet he's able to listen and learn to other people, and learn from other people. You have to be generous, but prudent, and all these things, I mean, there's a lot of them. You have to be balanced as a man. And this is what we need to learn and we have to work at. One thing I was thinking that was interesting is you have to rule with strength and wisdom. I believe you have to rule with strength and wisdom. The Bible tells us, right, if one wants to be a bishop or if you want to be a deacon, he talks about the list, the requirement, what a man should be, what a man should look like. And a man should be able to rule his house well. This is what a man should be. And a man should be able to rule his house with wisdom and with strength. And yet, he should be able to serve with humility and care. Rule with wisdom and strength, yet serve with humility and care. These are hard things to balance and act out and live out practically. And it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take sometimes you're going to mess up. And you know what? Fathers, husbands, you should be able to learn how to say, I'm sorry. I failed. I did wrong. Will you forgive me? These are things husbands, men need to be able to do. Because listen, you're going to fail. And you're going to learn. You're going to have to recognize those failures so that you can work at them and get better. But to put all these things together, to be able to rule in such a way that you're supposed to rule and yet also be humble, you're going to have to work at it. But it is important. Listen, we're expecting, right, and we talk about a woman is supposed to be submissive and a woman needs to submit and so forth. You know, why don't you make that job for her as natural as it can be?
Amen.
You know, I'm sure your wife would be much more willing. And listen, submission is hard all the time. It's never easy. Submission is whenever you're giving up your will and you're going and doing somebody else's will. You're having to follow them. And so it's going to be hard. It's always going to be hard. But why don't you make it more natural for her whenever she understands that you are humble and you're caring for her? If you have a history of showing that you serve with humility and care, then whenever you have to make a certain decision and you have to maybe make a leading decision with some strength and some wisdom, well, maybe she'll remember the past humility and service of care that you've put into your marriage, and she'll be a lot more inclined to follow you. You want to be a good husband? Learn how to serve with humility and care so that you can lead with strength and wisdom. Amen. So there's a lot of balancing act and you need to work. But the point is, men, you to become a well-rounded, good man for your family is going to take work. You need to put out the effort. You need to actually take time and invest. It's an investment. It's something that's going to take time. You need to consider these things and you need to work on these things. You need to talk about these things and you need to act and you need to fix some things. You need to make some things right. But you can become a good man. You can be a good, well-rounded father and a husband. And we need to, again, focus on caring for our marriage. Because a great problem in our society is there's no care for marriages. And because there's no care for marriages, then the whole family breaks apart. Because if husband and wife can't work at that marriage correctly, then the children and them being fathers and them being mothers is not going to work. And that's where we're seeing a lot of problems. And I would care to say that too many of our marriages are being destroyed because of adultery.
Amen.
Too many marriages are being destroyed because of adultery. Men are not, and women too, this goes everywhere, but again, we're probably speaking in more general terms. Men are too inclined on taking their sexual lusts and fulfilling them outside of the marriage bed. And that's not right. Men need to guard against this. The Bible says you need to flee fornication. And men should be putting up guards so that they can fight against their lusts. And you need to take care of your marriage because this is ruining marriages. Your fight is not uncommon or it's not unusual, okay? We all know this is, it's just a known thing. Listen, men lust after women. And it's your job to fight that. It's your job to take care of that. Because it can destroy your marriage. It really can. I heard something the other day and it was called, he said, unguarded strength is double weakness. I thought that was interesting. Unguarded strength is double weakness. Because a lot of times the Bible talks about you think you're strong, you gotta be careful because you're gonna fall, right? A lot of times whenever you think you're strong at something, that's whenever you're very weak. Because if you don't guard that strength, it might be just a double weakness. And I consider Joseph. He was a servant and he was busy working and ran from adultery. But King David, in leisure, was ensnared by adultery. We need to keep ourselves busy, right? We need to keep ourselves busy doing something, working, so that we aren't just in leisure falling for all these things that the enemy is putting out. We need to keep ourselves busy, and that's what we see in Joseph. That's what we see. We see Job. We can go to Job 31:1. Job 31. I always thought this was fascinating because you think of Job, and Job is he's quite a man. I mean, this is an amazing man, an exemplary man, Job. And he says in chapter 31, he says in verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So he actually put some safeguards around him. And this is incredible because again, Job was an incredible man. But we see that this incredible man put some safeguards around him to keep himself from these sexual problems that can arise. And he put some safeguards. Look at what he says. He says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. That means Job had some of these problems too. You think you're the only one that fights these sexual lusts? No, there's every other men that are fighting that too. But guess what? The men that are following God are putting safeguards to fight against it. He made a covenant with his eyes so that he wouldn't do certain things. And you need to make a covenant with your eyes.
Amen.
You need to put some safeguards up so that you can protect. What are we talking about? Your marriage. You need to protect that. And a lot of men are playing around with sexual things that are just going to one day destroy your marriage if you don't guard against it. It's sad, really. This year we've heard a lot of it, and this past week I heard of a 73-year-old pastor. 73-year-old pastor, he was a well-respected man who just got kicked out of the ministry because of sexual impurity. And it's sad. It's sad to see. But you think you're not in danger of that? No, you are. You are in danger of that, and you have to fight against it. Proverbs chapter 7. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 7. This is something, I mean, we really need to take care of our marriage. And this includes everything that goes along with marriage. Proverbs chapter 7, this talks about a man that is ensnared by a harlot, right? But verse 26 says, "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her." Many strong men have been slain by her. Be careful. This can ruin your marriage, and you have to take precautions. You have to take safeguards so that you don't fall. And no matter how strong you think you are, you're vulnerable. And you need some safeguards. You need to be taking care of this. You need to care for your marriage. You know, sex is often portrayed as a bad thing. Sometimes, I know, sometimes growing up, you know, we think about sex as being a bad thing. And sex as a bad thing. And sometimes, like, you want to tell your children sex is a bad thing just so that they'll stay away from it. But, you know, the truth is, sex is not a bad thing. Sex is a good thing. The Bible talks about it in Hebrews. It says it's honorable in all. It's a beautiful thing that God has made for marriage. And sex is a beautiful, it's a good thing. Don't think that it's a bad thing. Don't put it in your mind as a bad thing. Sex is a good thing for a marriage. And it's necessary. And it's beautiful creation of God. And yet, men have perverted it. And sex outside of marriage is a bad thing. And that's what sex is all about nowadays. And that's why it's become such a bad thing. But listen, sex is a good thing in marriage, and it's necessary, and it's something you need to do. I would say that women, if we could give any advice also, it would be women, you need to take care of your husband. Amen. And you should be the biggest help to him that there is. Right? I mean, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. He's talking about it and he's saying, listen, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. It's not good for a man. You gotta be careful because men are prone to falling for these types of things. But he says, what can help you, the best thing for you is to get married. Because guess what? When you have a wife is to satisfy your sexual needs. So men, first of all, you should be looking to your wife to satisfy your sexual needs, not somewhere else. Amen. And wives, you should be looking to satisfy your husband's sexual needs. Amen. A wife that is denying your husband sex is just wrong. It's incorrect. It's not what should be. And why not? Let's go there. Well, let's let the scripture speak to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's important. It's necessary to see. You don't have to take my word for it. Let's see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm going to go back to Proverbs there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 3 says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence." Okay, now this is that both spouses need to render to the other what is necessary. Y'all both have to take care of each other's needs. This is the husband rendering unto his wife due benevolence. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. Y'all need to take care of each other's needs. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Y'all should not be denying each other whenever there's need. That's just not right. Verse 5 says, "Defraud ye not one the other." Do not defraud yourselves, "except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer." If y'all are gonna abstain from that for a little while, don't let it go too long because it's dangerous ground.
Amen.
He says, and come together again that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency.
Right.
Come together again lest you be tempted by Satan. You have to satisfy each other's needs. And you know, this is not hard to do. It's not hard. Women, it's not hard to satisfy your husband's needs. Okay? It's not gonna take much. All you have to do is show up with no clothes on. And that's all.
Amen.
Really, it's not hard. When we're talking about sexual heat, listen, if you can compare a man to a microwave, the woman would be a crock pot. She takes a little longer. You can't just show up. It's true. Word to the wise. Look, you should be taking care of your wife's sexual needs also.
Amen.
And your wife's sexual needs aren't the same as yours. She's not made the same way as you. You're ready like that. She's not. You might need to start before you go to work in the morning and tell her how much you love her. You might need to send a text while you're working and just say, honey, I love you.
Amen.
You can't just expect her to be ready at any time just like you. And I know it's funny and we laugh and it's all good, but it's true.
Amen.
You do not want your woman resenting you because you don't care for her sexual needs. And so y'all need to think about this. Y'all need to talk about it. Y'all need to care for each other because there are, guess what? There are loose women out there that are willing to give your husband what they want.
Right.
Sad to say, but that's the truth. That's what we see in Proverbs chapter 7, right? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 7. So 7:7 says that he was looking out and he beheld among the simple ones and discerned among the youths a man that was void of understanding. Here's the simple ones. Here's the men without any understanding. And this is how they act. This is what they're doing, and they're walking around the streets. Verse 9, it says, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, he says, and beheld there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Now, just to pause there, he says, there met him a woman, a woman with the attire of a harlot. Attire of a harlot. You know, that's interesting, right? Interesting that there's different ways to dress. He says, there's some people that dress like a harlot, and they should be distinct from those that dress as normal women.
Amen.
A woman that dresses like a harlot shouldn't be identified the same as a woman that dresses like in normal clothes. And it's sad to say, but today I don't think there's much of a distinction anymore.
That's right.
It's like, it's hard to distinguish. Today, what people call fashion is nothing more than dressing like a harlot. In Mexico, sometimes I think, well, I'm glad that I grew up in Mexico because I was exposed to a lot of things at a very young age. For example, we would go out to preach in the streets, and there were drunks all the time. You could see them. You could see how they were laying down in their vomit. And you know what? After seeing that so many times, you thought, I don't want to drink because I see the end of that road, and it's not good. Well, another thing, you know, we saw a lot, whenever we would drive home from church and different places, and we saw it also in Querétaro, is that on the corners, some street corners, there's women that are standing out there, and they are harlots, and they're on the street corners waiting for whatever they do. And you could see right away how they were dressed, and it was inappropriate. The sad thing is, yesterday I was with Hannah and we went shopping, and there were women there that were dressed worse than the harlots on the streets of Mexico. And they call it fashion. And they say it's a good thing. And well, this is now. This is the culture now. No, that's not a cultural thing. Listen, the way, if anybody, girls, please don't dress that way. No matter what the fashion says, don't do it. Amen. You don't have to expose your breasts.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to show, like you used to, we have to tell them, like, hey, don't show your knees. Don't show your knees, right? Well, that's gone out the window. You can't hardly convince anybody now to not show their knees. Now you're having to say, hey, please don't show the butt cheeks. Don't show the butt cheeks, because they are.
Amen.
That's what they're showing. And they think it's fashion. But no, that's probably more like the attire of a harlot.
Amen.
And you need to stay away from that. You have no business dressing that way.
Amen.
Stay away from that. He says there's a woman that was dressed with the attire of a harlot, and she was subtle of heart. In verse 11 it says, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. There she is. She's in wait, and she's trying to snare somebody. You know, women and men, y'all both have to satisfy each other's needs, and it's an important thing to protect your marriage. Especially in our day and age, where most of us spend more time with the women at work than with your wives at home. Because you're working 40 hours a week, and you're seeing this woman that's at work 40 hours a week, and you know, when you get home, you see your wife, and you'll probably don't spend as much time as you do with the women at work. And so that's just like breeding ground, and that's dangerous. Especially thinking that at the house, your wife is always telling you, oh, please do this, oh, help me with this, oh, I need help with the kids, I need all this. And you just feel like your wife is just always pressuring you for these other things that are necessary. And then at work, those girls all just laugh at your jokes. You know how dangerous this is? I think it said 41% of adultery cases are work-related. And so we're just in a time where these types of sexual traps are all around. And if we're not giving unto the other due benevolence, if we're not taking care of each other's needs, then we're in dangerous grounds. And we need to care for that. You, husband, need to care for her needs, both spiritually and physically. Care for her needs. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. To be able to care for her needs, obviously you're going to have some knowledge, right? That's why I've been imparting knowledge today, so that you can know how to better take care of your wife. Because Peter tells us that we have to dwell with them according to knowledge. That's what he says, 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read verse 7. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what knowledge is going to require? Knowledge is going to require some communication. Men, you're supposed to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. But listen, here's a hint. If you as a wife want something from your husband, just tell him clearly what you want.
Amen.
Because your husband, he's got the perceptiveness of a rock. He does not understand what you want unless you tell him. He's like a GPS. If you don't tell him where you're going, he's not going to know.
That's right.
You have to tell him. So if you want your husband to dwell with you according to knowledge, there has to be communication. You have to talk to him. You have to tell him. Tell him, explain to him that you're different, because he has no idea what you're expecting. You know, women that are thinking, oh, he should just know what I want. You know, you're in La La Land. You're dreaming, because he doesn't know. And you have to be very clear with him. You have to talk to him. Just accept that fact and talk to him. There needs to be a lot of communication.
Amen.
In marriage. Y'all need to figure out a way to communicate. Y'all need to be able to talk, because it's very important. It's vital. It's important to the health of the marriage that y'all communicate. And y'all need to learn how to communicate. And this goes on both parties. Both sides need to learn how to communicate. Y'all need to learn how to tell and express what you want, what you're expecting, what your needs are, just anything. Talk to the other person. But the other thing, the other side is, and I think everybody needs help with this, and this helps in all walks of life, y'all need to learn how to listen.
Amen.
Learn how to listen.
Amen.
First of all, learn how to listen without expecting to be offended.
Amen.
It's so funny how whenever we start a conversation and we're talking, it's like we're always up on guard. We're always ready for the attack. It's coming. I know. I know he's going to say something to get me. I know he just wants to let it out. Why can't you just listen without expecting to be offended?
Amen.
Let somebody talk. Listen to their arguments. Listen to what they have to say. And even if it's hard, even if it might sound like it's just against you, be open, listen, and talk about it. Give a good answer back. Actually discuss things. Because whenever we just get offended, we stop solutions. And this happens not just in marriages. We see it in politics and we see it in everything. We see it all around. We're always just so quick to be offended. We need to learn just how to listen. Listen and communicate and talk. Marriage needs it. A good marriage needs good communication. So learn how to talk. Learn how to communicate. And guess what? That's what happens with marriage, right? The more you grow, the older you get, it's like the better y'all know each other.
Amen.
And the better y'all know each other, the better things are. And y'all can expect something. Y'all don't even have to say it anymore. You don't even have to communicate it. You already know where she wants to go to eat. You already know what she wants done around the house or what you can help her with. You know these things. Because y'all have grown together and y'all have more knowledge. But don't expect people, you know, both sides to know something if y'all haven't talked about it, if y'all haven't communicated. Speak clearly. Give honor unto the wife.
Amen.
I think that would be a good thing. In communicating, would it not hurt, would it hurt you to say, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so appreciative of you. You're so good to me. Would it hurt you to tell your wife that sometimes? Doesn't the Bible talk about the virtuous woman and how her children bless her? They rise up and say blessed, and the husband praises her. Shouldn't we be able to express that praise
Amen.
Towards our wives?
Amen.
Yeah, we should. And it doesn't have to just be a public thing that you post on Facebook, but whenever you're in front of her, you can never tell her anything to her face. You never say a word of praise to her in private, but in public, you're a show-off. That shouldn't be either. You should be able to just praise her.
Amen.
Honor her. Anyway, enough with men and husbands. Let's move on. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Our women are very important. Obviously, Paul tells us, right, the woman was made for the man, but the man can't be without the woman. I mean, there is no life if there's no woman. We need women. That's obvious, right? Yes. So we need women. Women are very important, and women as wives are very important, and women as mothers are very important. We need women. And let's jump into to motherhood. We need women that can teach our younger generation, because our younger generation needs to be taught. They need to be taught some things. Young women today are getting confused again by our society. I mean, everything is confusing. In our day and age, a woman is embarrassed to be a virgin. If you're a virgin, that's who they make fun of. They make fun of the ones that are virgins. And this is completely wrong. But guess what? You're gonna have to teach your daughter to be a strong, confident woman so that whenever somebody wants to laugh at her because she's a virgin, she can handle that.
Amen.
It's gonna take some work. You're gonna have to build that young girl up so that she can face these things. Listen, young woman, it's not an embarrassment to be a virgin. That's what's expected. God wants you to be a virgin all the way until you get married. That would be the best thing for you to be pure and chaste. But we need women that are going to be able to teach the younger ones that. And if we don't have anybody teaching it, where are they going to learn? It's going to be hard to find. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." Now, he talks about women being the behavior of a woman, the way a woman should behave, should become holiness. It should fit right in. It should look holy. It should blend in with what God expects. This is how women should act. He says, not false accusers, not given too much wine, and teachers of good things. This is how a woman should be. And it's important. Now look at what he says they should teach. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Be sober. Think rightly. Think clearly, right? Don't be intoxicated by any substance, first of all. You need to be able to think clearly. And so you should teach the younger women how to stay away from these things. Teach the younger women how to say no to drugs, how to say no to alcohol, how to be able to think clearly. And for that, they need to be sober-minded. They need to be sober. Not only sober-minded and staying away from actual intoxications from outside substances, but be sober and think clearly from intoxication of mentality that the other people want to share and put upon her. Remember, the pressures of thinking like the world are all over the place. And you have to teach your daughters how to be sober, how to think clearly, how to think in a right way. And this is going to take some work. You have to have conversations with your daughters. You have to have conversations about things. When they come home from school, talk about them. What happened today? Let me know what's going on with this friend. What's going on with that friend? Y'all need to have a good conversation about daily life so that they can think clearly. It's very important that they may teach them to be sober, to love their husbands. Teach your daughters how to love their husbands.
Amen.
You know, I don't think it's good that some women grow up raise their children hating men. It happens. And you know, some women maybe have a reason why they hate men. But I don't think it's fair to hate all men just because you one man did you wrong. But for some reason, some women pass these feelings along. And now, some of these younger girls are growing up thinking they hate men. And that shouldn't be. You should teach your daughter that she should love her husband. How is she going to do that? You got to teach her from a young age. Teach her to do that. Teach her so that whenever she gets married, that's what she grows up thinking. I want a husband so that I can love him. Instead of growing up thinking, I hate men. Just a different mentality. But somebody has to teach her. Somebody has to teach younger women how to do this. And obviously the best way to teach them is by a good example.
Amen.
How are you going to teach young women to love their husbands if you're not loving your husband? And if they don't see, remember, children, they're going to grow up and they're going to act and behave mostly like what they see, especially what they see in their parents. And so, if you are always telling them, you know, love your husband, but you don't show an ounce of love towards your husband, then that's not going to cause much of a good effect. And so, you got to be teaching by a good example. Teach them to love their husbands. It says, and to love their children. Teach women how to love their children. You know, again, a wholesome way of growing up is for young men thinking, I want to grow up and I want to become a man and I want to have a family and I want to care for my family. And it's a young woman growing up thinking, I can't wait to get married and I can't wait to serve the Lord with my husband and to have children so that I can love my husband and I can care for my children. That's how young kids should grow up thinking. And that's something they should see an example in the parents, and the parents should be teaching their kids, teach them how to desire to have a family and how to desire to care for a family. That's important. Teach them to love their children, to be discreet, to be discreet. I think that's gonna, they're gonna teach them to be in self-control, discreet and self-control, some modesty and humility, not trying to get all the attention. Hey, I want everybody to look at me. No, you need to learn how to be discreet. Some humility and discernment. All these things need to be taught. Chaste, pure. Again, go back to purity. We need to teach our young women how to be pure. Teach them how to dress. Teach them, teach them what to think and how to think. Teach them when and why. All of these things are important to teach them how to stay pure. It's necessary for women to teach their daughters and for older women to teach the younger women these things. Keepers at home. You saw that the woman in Proverbs chapter 7, she wasn't a keeper at home. It says she went out. It says she left the home. It says that whenever her husband was out, she went out to the streets and she would entice a man and say, "My husband's gone on a long journey. Come with me." No. Women need to teach younger women how to keep the home. Stay at home and care for the home. You need to love your home. You need to think about making that a safe place for your children and for your husband and doing the best thing you can for your home. Stop wanting to run away. Stop desiring a different life. Yeah. Care for your home. It's important to grow this way. Again, these are not things that go against happiness or against joy, like they want to present them. Like, oh, you're a stay-at-home mom. That's horrible. No, that's not. That's a beautiful, joyous thing. Right. One of the most wholesome and important occupations there is in all of life.
Amen. That's right.
And we better not minimize that.
That's right.
Now, if a woman wants to work and wants to do all these other things, hey, there's a lot to that, and that's fine. They can talk about it with their husbands. But to put down a woman that is caring for her home is wrong.
Right.
And the care of the home comes first.
Amen.
At least that's the way God sees it. He says she should teach them how to be good, right? Benevolent, loving. How about caring, even caring for strangers, hospitable, all these things are important for women to teach their daughters. Again, this comes into a lot of work. To teach your children isn't something easy. It's a lot easier to say, hey, y'all go play on the PlayStation, y'all go watch this movie, and I'll do all the things I have to get done without being disturbed. That's easier. But for you to teach your children, it's going to take a lot more work. But it's necessary. It's necessary. Teach your daughter how to peel potatoes. Right? I mean, hey, why not? Teach her how to cook some things. It's sad that women are going off to college and the only thing they know how to do is pour a bowl of Captain Crunch. We need to teach other things, not just business. How about care for the home and be good? And obedient to their own husbands. Oh, let's... Wait a minute. Scratch that out. Obedient to their own husbands. That's incredible. Listen, again, obedience, what it's talking about as far as submission is a voluntary thing. Submission, the way the Bible expresses the wife submitting to the husband, is a voluntary act. It doesn't say, husbands, submit your wives to you. Make your wife submit. No, it says, wives, Submit to your husbands. That should be something they do. That should be something the wife submits to. And again, like I go back to saying, men, you should make that as natural for them as possible. You should be a man worth following so that she just thinks, boy, I want to submit to him. That should be your goal. You don't worry about making them submit. But wives, you're going to have to learn how to live in submission to your husband. And boy, teach this to your daughters so that you can teach them to choose a good man.
That's right.
You teach your daughters, submission isn't important. Then what's going to happen? Who they're going to marry? Who they marry is really important, and you need to teach them that, because who you marry, you're going to be submitting to. And remember, a whole lot of things go into submission. But in the end, the man should be a leader. And if the man is not a good leader, then the whole household is going to have a lot of trouble. But you as a woman don't want to be put in the spot where you're having to follow a man who is a good for nothing. And you have a hard time submitting to him. You don't want to submit to him. Why would you put yourself in that position? Choose a good, godly man, because you're going to be submitting to him. So it is important. It is important that women teach these things to the younger women. That the word, look at what it says, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, a lot of these things, submission to your husband, you know, a lot of these things are not so much because of who your husband is and how much better your husband is. It's so that the word of God won't be blasphemed. Amen. So that the name of Christ won't be blasphemed. That's the reason for these things. You need to be doing these things because you care about God. Amen. And you know, that's the ultimate goal of course, what we talked about last week and what we talked about this week. It's that everything comes down to God. He is the source of life. He is your source of joy. He is your source of everything. And that means that's who you do it for. And that's got to be your focus. Because if not, you can create a lot of problems. A lot of problems in the marriage. But it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of work from both sides. Men, it's going to take a lot of work. And women, it's going to take a lot of work. But it's got to be something that you're interested in. I mean, don't you want to have a beautiful marriage?
Amen.
Don't you want to have a beautiful family? Don't you want to have children that rise up and call you blessed? Don't you want to have children that want to grow up and be just like you? And they want to have a family like you? And they want to have kids and care for you? And they want to then serve God with their life? Well, it's going to take work. And you're going to put out some effort to do it. But it's a beautiful thing, and it's worthwhile.
Amen.
And it is the design of God, and we should put out the effort that it takes. We want good families.
Amen.
And so we got to strive to follow God and His advice and what He designed the family to be. So let's just keep these things in mind and serve the Lord the best we can.
Amen.
And love each other.
Amen.
Husbands and wife, they're both commanded to love each other. So let's live in that. Well, thank you for your time. We'll be here, have a 5-minute break, and then we'll be back with the second hour.